This special Halloween episode of The Week in Doubt is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/The Week in Doubt. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And if you like the show, please like us on Facebook or rate us on iTunes. Thank you. From ancient Ireland to modern America, from ritual bonfires to plastic pumpkins, this is a brief history of Halloween. Roughly 3,000 years ago, the Celtic peoples, most notably those of ancient Ireland, celebrated Samhain. Samhain, Gaelic for November, marked the end of the harvest season and the coming of the darker half of the year. The ancient Celts believed that on that night the wall separating our world from the world of the dead parted, or became especially thin, allowing spirits of the deceased along with otherworldly beings to cross into the realm of the living. Lost loved ones were beckoned to feast for the dead, and it may have been the case that the Celts adorned masks or disguises to help ward off more malignant spirits. The opening between the worlds was thought to allow access both ways. If the dead could enter the world of the living, then conversely the living could enter the world of the dead. And stories abounded of hapless mortals finding themselves stranded in the other world on Samhain night, or of brave Celtic heroes journeying to the land of the dead. The end of the harvest was a precarious time of the year when thoughts turned to whether or not there would be enough food to last the coming winter. On Samhain, herds were brought down from the high summer pastures and ritually sacrificed along with other animals and livestock upon massive bonfires. The Celts prayed to the gods for the return of the sun and hoped that the impending winter cold would help the meat to last the dark days to come. The light of the ritual bonfires attracted insects, which in turn attracted one of our favorite Halloween creatures, the bat. Because it was thought a time when the doorway to the world of the dead was open, Samhain was considered a potent time for divination. Celtic priests or druids would read the entrails of sacrificial animals and make predictions for the coming year. In time, Celtic Samhain would become intermingled with Roman holidays, such as Pomona, a Roman celebration of a goddess of abundance by the same name, and Lemuria, a macabre holiday associated with the dead. The practice of bobbing for apples dates back to the Roman conquest of Britain. The Romans brought with them the apple tree, a symbol of Pomona. The Celts noticed the pentagram-like layout of the seeds in a cleaved apple and adopted the fruit as a fertility symbol. The first person to bite an apple floating in water or hanging from a string would be the next to marry, or so the superstition went. Realizing the difficulty in attempting to abolish pagan traditions and celebrations altogether, the church instead developed a policy of Christianizing or sanctifying them. Celtic Samhain was no exception. In the 8th century, Pope Gregory III pronounced November 1st All Saints or All Hallows Day, Hallow being an archaic term equivalent to saint. Thusly, the church Christianized the Celtic New Year and transformed October 31st, which had traditionally been Samhain, into All Hallows Eve or evening. Eventually, the term would become shortened into the word Halloween. A couple of centuries later, the church made November 2nd All Souls Day, a day not just for recognition of saints, but similarly to Samhain, for all those who had died the past year. In the Middle Ages, there was a custom known as souling. It was somewhat similar to our modern practice of trick-or-treating. Children went door-to-door begging for soul cakes. In return, they offered prayers to help souls trapped in purgatory ascend to heaven. Seeming to mirror some of the darker and more mischievous aspects of modern trick-or-treating, rowdy medieval beggars and wandering theater groups would wander house to house on All Hallows' Eve demanding food and drink. often obscuring their identity with masks and costumes. The witch, a popular symbol of our modern Halloween, came under heavy persecution in the 15th century. So-called witches were probably just practitioners of old pagan folkways. The word witch is derived from the Old English Wicca, meaning wise one. So-called witches were long thought to have supernatural powers, but it wasn't until this time of persecution that those powers were said to derive from a pact with the devil. The Celtic religion long associated with witchcraft was finally outlawed in the year 1486 by Pope Innocent VIII. It was also in 1486 that the infamous Malleus Maleficarum, or Hammer of the Witches, was penned by German clergyman Heinrich Kramer. It was a treatise meant to instruct the reader on how to properly prosecute supposed witches. In the late 17th century, the witch hunt hysteria would make its way to the Americas, ultimately resulting in the deaths of 20 wrongly accused individuals in colonial Massachusetts, 19 by hanging, and one a man by the name of Giles Corey by being pressed to death. The black cat, another popular Halloween symbol, was thought in some cases to be a witch's familiar. A familiar was thought to be a spirit or entity that assisted a witch and often took the form of an animal. The War of Christianity would temporarily take a toll on Halloween. On October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther, the father of the Protestant movement, is said to have nailed his 95 theses to a church door in Wittenberg. His choice to post his theses on the eve of All Saints' Day was probably more than mere coincidence. Along with his denouncement of paid indulgences, Luther was also protesting the worship of saints and relics, symbols which he thought came between God and man. In 1605, Catholic militant Guy Fawkes was arrested and later executed for his part in a plot to blow up the Protestant House of Lords, a conspiracy which would come to be known as the Gunpowder Plot. November 5th, the day Guy Fawkes was discovered guarding gunpowder beneath the House of Lords, would merge with Halloween and become known as Guy Fawkes Night, Guy Fawkes Day, or Bonfire Night. Children, similar to trick-or-treating, would go door-to-door begging for a penny for the guy, money they would put towards building effigies of Guy Fawkes, which would be burned. Whether or not Guy Fawkes Night was meant as a Protestant substitute for the more Catholic Halloween is still a matter of some speculation. Religiously austere early American Puritans wanted little to do with Halloween. However, in some colonies, such as Virginia, where there was a sizable Catholic population, the celebration of Halloween continued. There were Halloween parties, ghost stories, young girls indulging in divination games, and the ancient practice of bobbing for apples. In the 19th century, Irish and Scottish immigrants brought their Halloween traditions with them to the New World. One of the popular traditions they brought with them was the carving of the jack-o'-lantern. Americans substituted pumpkins for the hard turnips traditionally used by the Irish. The story behind the jack-o'-lantern centers on an incorrigible sinner sometimes known as Stingy Jack. There are various versions of the story, but they usually involve Jack tricking the devil into vowing never to take his soul. Upon dying, Jack finds himself barred from both heaven and hell, doomed to wander the earth for all eternity. The devil, perhaps taking some degree of pity on Jack, tossed him an ember of hellfire to carry inside a carved turnip lantern, so that at least he would be able to light his way. In the early 20th century, Halloween became more of a time for children. Soon boys and young men would resurrect the more rowdy side of the holiday by playing outlandish pranks and even resorting to vandalism. On one particular Halloween night in the 1930s, there were a reported 1,000 windows broken. Soon towns and cities would begin organizing civic events in an attempt to tame Halloween. One such city was Anoka, Minnesota, still known to this day for its yearly Halloween parade, and dubbed the Halloween capital of the world. Early 20th century commercial artists established the look of Halloween. Orange and black became the predominant colors, and all those symbols we now associate with Halloween were gathered. Witches on broomsticks, dangling skeletons, and the friendly jack-o'-lantern with its wide death's head grin. For the first time, Halloween masks and costumes were professionally manufactured and marketed. Previously, children and young troublemakers donned shabby outlandish outfits and homemade costumes. Many of the first professionally produced Halloween costumes were made of paper and disturbingly proved all too flammable. Circa 1930, Sears released the first boxed Halloween costumes based on popular characters. These newer costumes also proved to be more durable than their paper predecessors. Although traditions involving door-to-door begging, sometimes in costume known as guising, had been around for centuries, the term trick-or-treat is surprisingly recent. It's most likely a product of the 20th century, probably no more than 80 years old at the most. Companies such as Hershey's began manufacturing prepackaged Halloween candy. Offering young troublemakers store-bought candy seemed to help tame Halloween's more destructive side. During the Second World War, Halloween was temporarily put away while children and adults alike focused on supporting the war effort. After the war, the baby boom generation would indulge in Halloween with a renewed zeal. From the 70s into the 90s, the destructive side of Halloween would manifest again in the widespread arson that plagued Detroit, Michigan every October 30th, the night before Halloween, also known as Devil's Night or Hell Night. Eventually, the plague of fire and vandalism would be brought under control following a particularly brutal and destructive Devil's Night in 1994. In 1995, concerned citizens and city officials created a counter-event known as Angel's Night. During the 1980s, a new paranoia would set in. Rumors began to spread regarding poison candy and apples containing hidden razor blades. Concerned parents even resorted to having their children's candy x-rayed. The concern in retrospect was widely overblown. There were cases of poisoned Halloween candy, but sadly it wasn't strangers but family members usually doing the poisoning. Rumors of razor blades and poison candy and the advent of increasingly gruesome horror movies would contribute to adding a darker and more sinister tone to the modern Halloween. Masks, long a part of harvest and Halloween celebrations, have become increasingly more convincing over the years. The crude homemade and paper masks of the past have been replaced with elaborately detailed faces made from latex or silicone, molded in the likeness of everything from movie monsters to politicians, even presidents. In fact, it's even been reported that the sale of political masks can help predict the outcome of elections. The company Spirit Halloween claims the sales of its masks have accurately predicted the winner of every presidential election since 1996. Even now, in the 21st century, some vestiges of the old Celtic religion in which Halloween has its oldest roots still remain. Every October 31st, Celtic reconstructionists and neo-pagans gather to celebrate Samhain, lighting ritual fires and invoking the spirits of the dearly departed. What is it about Halloween that continues to fascinate and delight us? Is it the chance it affords us to safely confront and poke fun at our own mortality? The opportunity to indulge our dark side? Or is it just a fun excuse to celebrate? It's probably a bit of all of the above. Traditions and celebrations marking the coming of the darker half of the year have been with us for thousands of years, and with any luck, they'll be with us for thousands more.